One sign of a good vacation is when you actually look forward to returning home. Welcome everyone, I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Kenneth Wong is our host. He's an author, teacher, and itinerant speaker. Well, in yesterday's program, Ken presented the second of a three-part series called A Real Retreat. And he spoke of how reflection can give added insight to ourselves, as we might see an image of ourselves in a mirror or a pool of still water. The water of God's Word is that mirror that helps us see our reflected image more clearly. And in just a moment, Kenneth concludes this series with a reflection on the desired outcome of a real retreat, that being the provision of renewal.
Hello everyone, it's good to be with you again. We now come to the third part of our series on a real retreat. We have now gone through what it means to rest and then to reflect, and now we shall consider what it means to be renewed. Having begun by looking inward, we then looked upward, and now it is time to look onward or forward. Returning to our simple analogy of a traffic light, when it is red, we stop, and then it turns amber when we get ready. And when it turns green, it's time to go. And that's where we are now. At the time when I'm recording this, many people are beginning to get ready for their mid-year holidays, when the school breaks, and many would go on a short vacation. And that's also the time when many churches have their church camps and retreats. The sign of a good vacation or retreat is that you look forward to going home and returning to the routine at the end of it. It's just like having a good night's sleep, which makes you wake up fresh and eager to start a new day. The aim is to be renewed so as to return to action in a better and a fitter state than before. So whether you're about to embark or to go on a retreat or a camp or are returning from one, bear these things in mind so that you come back truly renewed and refreshed. The test comes when you discover how long it really lasts. Is it something that does you lasting good, or is it just a fleeting emotional high? Today we are going to look at three aspects of renewal from the scriptures. The first is the provision for renewal. The second is the purpose of renewal. And thirdly, I would like to touch on the prospect of renewal. Let's go to the first one, the provision for renewal. What really constitutes genuine spiritual renewal? For this, we will go to Psalm 51. This is a well-known penitential psalm, or a psalm of repentance. It was written by David when he was convicted by God through the prophet Nathan, who confronted him concerning his great sin of adultery and murder. So this is above all a penitential psalm about turning from sin in repentance and confession to God. But it also tells us what it means to be made new and fresh again when we feel jaded, worn or dull, especially if sin or a wrong relationship with God or with other people is the root cause. This great inner longing to be renewed in a right spirit with God is best captured in verse 10 of Psalm 51, where David cries out, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Here is a longing for renewal that is not superficial, but goes right down to the depth of his being. And it has very much to do with having a right relationship with God first of all. In this cry, in verse 10, we find that the longing for real spiritual renewal comes in two forms. First, in holiness, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." And secondly, in faithfulness, "and renew a steadfast spirit within me." So God's provision for renewal comes to us in these two ways. We are to be renewed in holiness, and we are to be renewed in faithfulness, in that order. We first need to be renewed in holiness. Because without holiness, no one can see the Lord. Without holiness, the wings of faith are clipped, and we cannot fly. There is no liberty or joy in our lives. Happiness of the highest kind can only be experienced through and in holiness. The caricature of holiness in the eyes of the world is one of gloom and lack of fun, whereas in truth, happiness of the highest order can be found nowhere else except in holiness, that is, in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's when the heart is truly at rest and is free to enjoy all things as from God. When we are walking in the path of the Lord, we shall find fullness of joy in His presence, and we shall find pleasures forevermore at His right hand, as it says in Psalm 16, verse 11. So that's the starting point of real spiritual renewal. It's to get right with God if we have not been. And sin often is the cause of gloom, heaviness, sadness, and sickness. But that's not God's desire for us. And were we to realize how much sin in our lives is responsible for the restlessness and the recklessness that we have been experiencing, the more ready we will be to go back to Him and to cling to Him. And this is what David experienced then. He was David, a man after God's heart, who had fallen into deep sin in a moment of careless self-indulgence, and who had continued to sweep it under the carpet for a period of time, but now confronted and convicted of the truth. Listen to what he had to say in some of the other earlier verses in Psalm 51. Verse 2, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Verse 3, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." Verse 4, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." Verse 5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Verse 6, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom." Verse 7, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Verse 8, "Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice." He's brought to realize once again that God desires truth and wisdom in the inward part of man, that though he may hide his sin from the eyes of men, he cannot do the same before God, to whom every one of us must give account. He's beginning to realize how much real joy and gladness has been lost because of sin, and in its place is abject misery and gloom, which led him to cry out to God. The verse that we have read in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." In the next verse 11, he goes on to say, "Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit." In verse 12, he's realizing afresh that true joy and gladness can only come from the presence of the Spirit, who must not be grieved because of sin in our lives. He's realizing what great joy of salvation had been lost when fellowship with the Lord is lost through sin in his life. And what he really wants is to have this joy of salvation and fellowship with the Lord restored by putting away his sin and getting right with God. So that's the first provision for renewal in holiness. Second is the provision to be renewed in faithfulness. He's asking God to renew a steadfast spirit within him and to be upheld by God's generous or free spirit. God will not be slow to withhold, but he's more than happy and most willing to sustain us with a steadfast spirit and to impart his faithfulness to us whenever we are ready to come to him. And when we have this joy of our salvation and fellowship restored, we shall be found in the position, as it says in verse 13, to teach transgressors God's ways, and sinners shall be converted to Him. We shall be renewed in order to share and to help others. And this leads us naturally on to our next major point, which is the purpose of renewal. Knowing God's provision for renewal, in holiness first, and then in faithfulness, we now move on to appreciate the purpose of God for our renewal. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40 for this, which is a great chapter that speaks of how God comforts His people. In fact, that is how the chapter begins. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. How can we fulfill this mandate to comfort, strengthen or encourage others, unless we ourselves have been renewed, comforted and strengthened ourselves? And the part that I want to come to is the last section of Isaiah chapter 40, which addresses this. Here we find some of the best loved verses relating to spiritual renewal. Verse 28, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And here it is, the last verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a wonderful and climactic verse. He doesn't just bring us to a crescendo and leave us hanging in the air. Instead, He brings us right down to earth again, so that we will know what it means to walk day by day, step by step. But verse 31 begins with those who wait on the Lord, or those who hope in the Lord. That's the posture and the source for renewing our strength. Waiting in hope brings renewed strength when it has been flagging. This is not waiting or hoping by ourselves, but rather waiting and hoping in the Lord. And there's a great difference between the two. It's the basis of waiting and hope. When we begin to wait and to hope in the Lord, there is an increasing certitude and confidence. It doesn't vacillate, go up and down, wax or wane, and we don't grow fidgety or discouraged as a result of it. This is what Oswald Chambers said concerning waiting. To wait on God is the perfection of activity. So it's the most blessed and beautiful thing to do. We see from this verse that the purpose of being renewed in strength is not so much for remaining on our perch or in our nest, but rather for taking flight, to mount up with wings like eagles. In other words, to be pushed out of our perch and the security of our nests and begin to fly. Soaring on the airstreams may seem effortless, but it's really being upheld by God on eagle's wings. But then, not all days are lived at a high altitude, with wonderful flights of fancy. Most days, we spend running or walking around in the dusty and dreary plains. It's just like a hang glider having to glide down and to break his landing gently by running, and then walking on level ground again. That's the picture we get when we read those verses. Those who renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings like eagles, but then they shall run and not be weary, and finally they shall walk and not faint. So the whole purpose of renewal is not so much that we might remain on a spiritual high all the time. An emotional high cannot be sustained indefinitely. But it's to give us the grit and the stamina to go the distance without growing faint and without fizzling out. In the earlier verse 29, it says, He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. That really gives hope to those of us who feel really down and out, battered and worn because that eminently qualifies us to be renewed. Are you weak? He can give you power. Have you no might or ability? He increases your strength as you wait and hope in Him. As you lift up your eyes on high, as it says in verse 26, and see who has created these things, you will find yourself uplifted by the Lord to high places where you will begin to feel the exhilaration of flying again once more. You don't have to try to take off from the ground up. And from those high air streams, He gradually brings you down to the ground so that you will have the momentum and the stamina to keep running the race and to walk in His paths. Thirdly, we have the prospect of renewal as we truly look forward. For this, we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Both in the opening verse 1 as well as in verse 16, we have this phrase repeated, "We do not lose heart." 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 1, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart." And again towards the end of this chapter, in verse 16, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." What a glorious prospect of renewal that we have, so that we do not lose heart or faint, but instead we can look ahead or look forward with great anticipation. Why? Because the inward man is being renewed, not just occasionally, but daily, day by day. And this is not just Paul speaking of himself. In verse 13 it says, "Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak." It's a glorious privilege all believers can have a part in. We can have the same spirit of faith. We can look forward with irrepressible optimism and boundless confidence, which God has put into our hearts. We need not be disheartened by what is encountered or what lies ahead. But it may surprise us that renewal can come through trials and troubles, which is referred to in the following verses. Verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Verse 18, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Here Paul is pressing home the contrast between the outward and the inward. The outward man or our outward lives seem to be perishing and wasting away. But the inward life and the inward man, on the contrary, is renewed day by day. The outward man or outward life may meet with light or momentary afflictions or troubles. But the inward life and the inward man know that they can be transformed into an exceeding and eternal weight of glory in the future. The outward is seen, the inward is unseen. The outward is temporary, but the inward points to the eternal. This is much like the 1/10th of an iceberg above the waterline, which we normally see. But the 9/10ths below the waterline are unseen or hidden from view, and yet they comprise the far greater mass and volume of the entire single iceberg. And what a wonderful thing to realize that the inward man is being renewed day by day. This is a continual renewal, not just an occasional one. It brings tenacity and what may be called stickability over the long run. That's the ability to run and to finish well being built into our system. We don't have to rely just on sporadic spurts of starting and then stopping. We do not cast our eyes or look at earthly things, and hence we do not lose hope in heaven. You know, if you have a fear of heights, the thing to do is don't look down, but keep looking up or straight on, and you won't feel faint. So fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus and the things of earth will grow dim in the light of His glory and grace. And may you continue to be wonderfully refreshed by the Lord's presence and be reached by His wonderful Word.
The purpose of being renewed in strength is not for us to remain on our perch or in our nest, but for us to take flight, to mount up with wings like eagles, to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. Thank you, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And join us again tomorrow when Kenneth presents a reflection on Psalm 25. Right now, though, we would love to hear from you, and I have several ways through which you can be in contact. You can send us a text message at 9431-3813, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore 915-714. You can go to our Facebook page and leave your comments there or share some views with some of the other folks you see. Also, I invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, where you can listen to the program right online. And Times of Refreshing has launched an iPhone app that allows users to directly access the broadcast messages and the podcasts right from their iPhones. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.